The world famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome to our show tonight. Always glad to be with you guys here. We are broadcasting from the El Pacifico. It is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish, pray, hope, just pine away for, but they can't. And so it is ours to tread there. Good evening. Along with me, of course, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. We'll also have a special guest this evening. We didn't really plan any guests per se because it's a... And I was going to say it's a fluid evening, but I don't want any jokes, and I mean that. There is a terrible state of affairs weather-wise on the eastern coast of our great country. Our fellow countrymen there in the states of New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, all of those eastern and northeastern states are affected by this storm, what they call the Superstorm Sandy. And around 5.5 million people have been affected in terms of power outages. 10 people have lost their lives. I said during the pre-show, and if you're listening to us, I'm glad that you are. And, you know, I'm not really a hard news talk host. I mean, we're not here to do reporting, and we're not here to do opinion. Well, we're here to do opinion, but couched in a sort of a satire. So I'm not going to be doing any reporting on this tonight, guys. I'll give you the basic. And I would only say that, you know, if you're smart, you know what to do. I don't have to tell you. If you're one of these jackasses that wants to go out and play in the wind, then you're one of these jackasses that wants to do that. There's nothing I can say other than go ahead and play in the wind, man, because, you know, the world could probably, you know, use fewer of you than we have right now.
You said fewer.
Don't interrupt me, I said.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like fluid.
I don't care what it sounds like. Don't interrupt. So it sounds like fluid.
Bad taste.
In any event...
Shut up, man.
So, you know, like I said during the pre-show, you know, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. If you are a smart person, I'm talking to you. If you're a dumbass, I'm talking to you. Dumbasses are the ones that go out and frolic in the wind and think that they're going to go surfing or something, right? By the way... As I did say, and you don't probably need to know this, but in case, water is a very deceptive thing. Water looks like it's a lot of fun. It looks very daunting to some people, but to a lot of people, it looks like it's fun. We want to dive in. We want to swim around. Water is an extremely powerful thing, as you know. I don't think you ever really get the idea of how powerful water is, though, until you're in it. And it's doing stuff that you can't stop it from doing. Anybody that's been caught, for instance, in a riptide for any short length of time knows how weird and scary and not cool that can be. You know, suddenly you're just like going one way and you really want to go the other way. The same goes for even if you're a good swimmer, you know, and even if you're a good dog paddler, you get out in the middle of that stuff long enough and you certainly realize the limits of your endurance and your ability to swim. And you can get tired real fast. My advice, stay out of it in the first place. That way you don't have to mess with it. You know, that way it's over there and you're over here someplace dry. That's the best possible solution to that. It is not a hurricane now. It's been downgraded to a storm, a tropical storm technically, but they're calling it a superstorm because of the water that it brought with us, like 13 feet of a surge hitting lower Manhattan, hitting Battery Park there. It just basically flooded lower Manhattan with this 13-foot surge, and with no lights, nobody can see anything. You can't see the harbor, you can't see the river, you can't see the Statue of Liberty, nothing from that part of New York. It's just, but you know, one thing we do know, New York, they get up off the mat pretty fast, so we know they'll do it this time out as well. 10 people have lost their lives, though. A massive storm. It was downgraded from a hurricane after it came ashore in southern New Jersey. It brought 85 mile an hour winds. It's about like a, I guess that's a category 4. It's a lesser of the categories. The 10 people that died were in New Jersey, New York, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut. There was a woman hit by a falling street sign in Toronto, Canada, due to the high wind. Power was out for hundreds of thousands of people in New York and an estimated 5.5 million people altogether across the east. MTA cut power to the subway tunnels because there was water pouring down into the tunnels and getting onto the into the stations and getting onto the tracks. The MTA can't say At this point, how much damage has been done or how much time it's going to take to restore everything? I can imagine tomorrow morning, rush hour is going to be 90. Might as well stay home, you know. Just stay home. Consolidated Edison was prompted to cut power to part of the area to avoid storm damage. A large portion of Manhattan's FDR Drive was also underwater. Reuters reported late Monday there had been an explosion at a Con Ed power plant on the east side of Manhattan. Despite earlier reports, Con Ed said on Twitter no one was trapped inside the plant. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says backup power has been lost at New York University Hospital. The city is working to move people out. The mayor delivered a news conference Monday night and said rain was tapering off in the city and the storm surge was expected to recede by midnight. The hospital complex affected there is near the East River in an area of lower Manhattan where flooding's been reported. You know, if you're anywhere where you're below sea level, it's a drag because the water's going to find you. And I had a little bitsy, I've had two floods affecting me, and they were both in different cities. One was in New Orleans, and I've talked often about the New Orleans flood that I was in back in 78 when the West Bank was flooded. That is the Western Bank on the other side of the Mississippi River from New Orleans. And the French Quarter, of course, being the highest piece of ground, that was fine. And that's where I was working in those days. That was the radio station I worked at was in the French Quarter of New Orleans. But to get from my flooded area to the high ground where the station was impossible. And then the other was in St. Paul, Minnesota, when you will very well remember, you guys, the winter of 93-94. And I mean, it was like up and down the Mississippi River.
What happened?
It was all that melt, all that, what do they call it, melt-off or snow? What the hell happened? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, well, the snow melted, and it brought all of the...
Yeah, the snow melted. So by the summer, and I spent a full year in St. Paul, but by the summertime, all that snow melting, because I guess there'd been a pretty heavy snowfall, it created floods, man, up and down the Mississippi River. And in St. Paul, I was living in a place called Lower Town, and it sure was Lower Town.
But they call it Lower Town to the lower? Yeah, because it's low down.
No, it's below sea level.
It's below sea level.
Yeah, but it's lower. Huh? I thought it's Lower Town because it's just low.
Yeah, like a really low grade of people? No, they don't call it Lower Town because it's a low grade of people. Why would they name a town that? Why?
Because so you know about to stay away.
To stay away. So how's that gonna help the town if you name it Lower Town because there's a low grade of people living there? How are you ever gonna get any business?
Well, no, but a lot of people that live there, they like it.
Oh, would the two of you try and find a brain between the two? Just find a flyer, maybe there's a brain on sale. Are you listening to what Phil's saying? He's saying it's Lower Town because it was lower than the level of the sea.
Yeah, there is no sea.
If there was an ocean near...
Bud, I know there is no... It's a river. You can be below sea level, man, and you can be in the middle of the country. You're still below sea level.
Yeah, how'd that work?
Yeah.
How does it work? You're serious, right?
Yeah.
Because the sea is here, and here's the land. Now, at any point, if the land is lower than the sea, even if you're a million miles away...
Okay, so technically you can be below sea level on the Mars.
Yeah, I guess, bud. But for our purposes, let's say thousands of miles, okay?
Well, you did say a million.
Now, this is where we get to the point, you see, and you guys never recognize it.
Here he goes.
Don't, not here he goes, Margaret. This is where I get to that point, you never recognize it.
What?
This is the point where I want to turn my ring around so it doesn't leave a mark.
Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. He asked the question.
Doesn't matter to me who asked the question. Now you guys make me want to turn my ring around so it doesn't leave a mark.
Why? Just because I'd ask about sea level?
Because you're so freaking dumb that it's beginning to aggravate me. Below sea level is below sea level, whether you are in the middle of the United States or standing right on the sunny banks of the coast of this great country, you are, well, there you wouldn't be below sea level.
Where would you be?
If you're standing on a beach?
Yeah.
At sea level.
You'd be at sea level? You're standing right next to the sea.
Oh, I get it. I thought it was just a term.
Oh, man.
Well, you didn't...
Wow.
Cut it out.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. A little more to report on this, a little more to report on that. The HMS Bounty has sunk. That's right. His Majesty's ship, the Bounty, has sunk. And this is also a piece of storm news. Strange, strange night. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What's sea level?
Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a shout out to Unicorn Barry tonight, and to our other friends on the East Coast and DC especially. And it looks like, yeah, you see, we have the Doppler map behind us here on Phil TV, and there it is, right there.
Look at that purple.
Don't worry about it, bud. I told you, don't mess around, man.
I'm not seeing anything bad.
I don't want to hear from you. So that is the cloud cover, and you can see it's extensive from the mid-Atlantic all the way up into New England to the northeast there, covering Ohio is affected, parts of Michigan are affected, there's Pennsylvania, there's North Carolina, bits of South Carolina. It's a big, ugly-ass freaking storm, man. And but the good news is it should be abating, as you heard that mention from the mayor of New York there, Mayor Bloomberg, by midnight. The hurricane turned post-tropical cyclone. The hurricane turned post-tropical cyclone.
Good God, what is that?
I don't know. It's a hurricane that turned into a cyclone, which is a kind of a storm, still powerful, a 900-mile-wide hybrid of several weather systems sent 30-foot-high swells toward New Jersey, and as its eye passed over the shoreline, a surge as high as 10 feet tore into dunes and washed across boardwalks. The hurricane turned into a post-tropical cyclone. I always thought a cyclone was a Pacific version of a tornado of some kind, or a Pacific version of a hurricane, where they call a hurricane in the Atlantic, a cyclone is a hurricane in the Pacific. I obviously, that's not what it is. The state had evacuated all shore towns ahead of the strike, with Governor Chris Christie telling residents who ignored the evacuation order that they were both stupid and selfish. True. Because if you stay, why are we reluctant to just say, because, you know, that's not who we are. I was going to say, why are we reluctant to say to anybody that stays behind in a storm, you know, you're on your own, and if you're, we're not going to come and find you and get you. I mean, we'll go in and we'll body bag your ass if that's what you want. But that's just not us, you know, that just is not who we are, and I understand. I do. I understand that. I don't know. I want to say to somebody, you stupid ass, your ass is inside your house. When we told you to get your ass out of your house, now you are there, you're stranded, you're going to drown, and I don't care. I'm going to use my resources to help these people over here. But that's not what people do, is it? Is that what you would? Well, I guess maybe you. I know I wouldn't. That's the kind of guy, you know. And I'm not saying that that's good. I'm saying that that's the kind of schmuck that I am. You know, that may be the dumbest thing. I'm the guy who's saying, we got to go help them. I can't. How do you do it? How do you leave somebody? Even if they're the stupidest. Now, I will tell you that after I got the guy out of there, then I would kick his ass with a, like, 2x4. So I'd save his life long enough to just beat his ass. I'm just kidding. But, you know, close to it. All right. So that was Chris Christie. He's right. If you stay, you're stupid and selfish. And not only that, there's a good chance that you're going to die. Who do you think you are? I mean, never mind. This is really something. Here's something here. If you die because you thought you were going to live, and then we got to go in and fish your rotting, stinking body out of the, you know, oh, God, after a few days, the bloating and stink alone, man, you're putting people through a whole. We can't guarantee it's going to be a very respectful funeral. We're going to have to just take you and throw you in a ditch until we know what to do with you, because we may not even be able to identify you. It will not be a very dignified way out. Anyway, the state had evacuated all shore towns ahead of the strike with Governor Christie. He said what he said. It's very intense, very dangerous storm. People will die in this storm, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley said Monday, so folks will need to mind their families, stay home, and hunker down. Unless you're in an evacuation area there, Gov. Even homes on stilts were threatened by the massive surge, and water was creating dunes and boardwalks from Delaware's, I can't pronounce this city, and I know that we've been on the air there for a long time. Anyway, in Delaware, and Jones Beach in New York. The houses on stilts are created, as you know, to keep your house above flooding waters, especially if you've been in the Well, you know, New Orleans or anywhere in the southeast, you see houses on stilts. As a matter of fact, here at the old El Pacifico, believe it or not, on the California coast, we've got houses up the coast from us here that are on stilts.
You're kidding. Which one?
They're out at, I think they're out at Mandalay Bay. There's houses on stilts.
What's that about? The California don't have no flood like that.
Yes, we do. We have floodplains like anybody else. And if the weather gets nuts, the water comes in and there's houses on stilts right up the beach, go ahead and take a look at them.
Well, that is insane. So why would anyone... If you have to put a house up on stilts, why buy it?
Because you've got a... What do you mean, why buy it? Because you got a view of the ocean. Because you're living at the ocean. Because it's a beautiful thing to have. Because your house is on stilts. Who cares?
Yeah, that's like a daily reminder that every day you go in that house, every day you leave that house, you see those stilts. That's like a daily reminder someday that house, they're going to take it away from me.
Yeah, someday God will take that house.
What are you talking about, man?
Easy, Phil, easy.
Yeah, slow down.
What I was going to say is, that's not necessarily the case. We see houses on stilts, the first thing that we want to do is laugh. Those of us who don't come from house stilt country, you know. And I've seen houses on stilts everywhere. I've seen them out in the Biscayne Bay. I've seen them in the South Pacific. I've seen them here on the West Coast. I've seen them on the East Coast. It's a way of avoiding high tides. It's a way of avoiding areas that are traditionally flood. There's nothing unusual about it. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily cooked. Your goose is cooked or otherwise cooked or even simmered.
What would happen if your goose was simmered? That's cute.
I would want my goose to be simmered instead of cooked.
Is that right? Okay, that's great.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, Margaret. But see, when you...
What?
Okay, are you done?
No, I was just saying. Would you rather have your goose cooked or simmered? What?
Okay, I'd rather have my goose simmered. Is that fine? Does that work? Is that working for you?
What are you all pissed off about?
It's a figure of speech, bud. It's got nothing to do with actually cooking a goose. Wow.
You didn't know that? About what? About cooking a goose? What do you know about cooking a goose?
It's a figure of speech. My goose is cooked, meaning I'm done for. You're done. You're effed. To put it in a more crude way, you're effed.
Oh.
I'd rather have my goose simmered than cooked.
Well, I mean, think about it.
There's no correlation in what we're talking about between a simmered goose. It's either cooked or it ain't. All right, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo shut down all major New York bridges and schools. Airports and the New York Stock Exchange was closed for Tuesday north of Atlantic City. The storm was expected to be at maximum force from about 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. So we have passed the bad time there in New York City. That's good. And my friends in Connecticut, I've been hearing from friends in Connecticut today. I hope you guys are okay. And I just, you know, 10's enough, man. That's terrible. National Guard was deployed along the densely populated Atlantic coast and airport shut down Monday afternoon as the storm churned in from the sea. There's a lot of people back there. That's the birthplace of our country. That's where everybody essentially was, that's where everything was concentrated, and that's where it still is. And there's a lot of people affected there. All right, so the world-famous Phil Hendry Show will churn on, as I mentioned. Now, I had this story about the bounty. One person is dead and one is missing, and this is actually... the HMS Bounty, my understanding is a ship that was used in the filming of at least one of the movies, one of the Bounty movies. That's at least what I heard from my good close personal friend, Mr. Northcraft, and he never lies except when he has to, which I totally understand, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. All right, so it says here, searchers on Monday evening found the body of one of two missing crew members of the stricken ship, the HMS Bounty, which sank off the coast of North Carolina after it was caught in Hurricane Sandy. The U.S. Coast Guard said Claudine Christian, age 42, was pulled from the water unresponsive and transported to Elizabeth City Hospital, the Coast Guard said. She was later pronounced dead. Crews continue searching for the remaining missing person, identified as the ship's captain, Robert Walbridge, 63. Earlier Monday, two Coast Guard helicopters rescued 14 people from life rafts as they were forced to abandon ship. Coast Guard rescue pilot Lieutenant Jenny Fields told NBC News that the rescue operation was a challenging hoist. Coast Guard swimmer Randy Haba helped pluck several crew members off a 25-foot rubber life raft. The 180-foot three-mast ship issued a distress signal late Sunday after taking on water. The director of the HMS Bounty Organization, Trace Simonin, said the ship, which was built for the 1962 Marlon Brando movie Mutiny on the Bounty, had left Connecticut last week en route to St. Petersburg, Florida. All right, we'll be back with more of that and other stories related and unrelated here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Monday night, Tuesday morning at the El Pacifico.
I don't know about it, dude. Yeah, you don't cook them. You don't simmer them.
You could simmer a goose if that's how you want.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Art Griego. Mr. Griego is a retired commercial pilot as well as a private charter pilot. And you also were in the freight business, air freight business for a while. Art, you've done all things having to do with pilots. We were talking here about the bounty, and you called us with a little bit of information on that.
The bounty was the ship that was taken over by the English crew. That was the mutiny.
Yeah, that we were reading about the original bounty, right?
Exactly, the original bounty. Now, the one that sunk and had the people missing, I don't want to... It's difficult, and I don't want to turn this into another episode of the Long Island Medium, and I mean that with all due respect, because... the name of the young lady that was that died tragically on that ship, her name was Christian.
Yeah, I understand that, and I don't really want to go there.
You know, you don't want to...
No, I don't. I don't want to... There's not going to be any laughs, okay?
Well, that was the reason why I called.
Okay. I mean, we can talk about other things. How is the... how is your business?
Well, my business, I'm retired, so there is no business. But I guess my son-in-law has got the business now. You can ask him. Last I heard, things are going great.
And oh, so your son-in-law bought the air freight business?
Yeah, he bought that and the charter business. So that's I talked to Trudy as my daughter, and Devin is her husband, and the two of them are doing fine. And I've got two grandkids, so they're doing great. And you know, it's interesting, Phil. I don't know if you ever saw that movie about Schmidt, but there's a scene in there where the man who's retired, he goes back to the company to say, "Well, if you need any help, let me help you out. I'd be happy to," because he suddenly finds himself at loose ends and he doesn't really have anything to do. And I remember thinking how pathetic that was.
Why is that?
Well, because the last thing that I want to do once I retired was to go back and ask my son-in-law or my daughter or anybody, do you need some help? I mean, I was glad to be rid of it. I honest to God, I was, and I've settled into a very comfortable life. Sharon and I, we take our plane up to Morro Bay, and we go up to Pismo Beach, and I go golfing, and I have a good life, and I don't want any part of that, you know, at all. But I was doing some reading on this bounty, and that's why I called you up, but you don't want me to talk about that.
No, I understand the young lady's name is Christian. That's as far as we're going to go with that. By the way, this ship that we're talking about, folks, it was built for the 62 movie.
And I read that too. So I guess what I'm getting at is there's no real reason for me to be talking to you right now.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you called. I am. I'm glad you called, and I hope you're well. You don't want to talk about the company.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about the bounty.
Well, I can talk about the bounty. I just don't want to talk about this girl's name being Christian, the poor girl that died, okay?
I understand, and I know the sensitivity you have, Phil, but the guy that was on the ship was Christian.
Yes, I know, and everybody else does.
You think everyone else knows that?
Yes, I think everyone knows the name Fletcher Christian. So we don't need to keep talking about that.
Well, there's no reason to be interested in the story.
I mean, I'm sorry. What, Margaret?
Hi, Art. This is Margaret Gray.
I'm sorry?
This is Margaret Gray.
All right.
Have you heard of me?
No, I'm afraid I haven't.
You've never heard of me?
No, ma'am.
Never mind.
What do you mean, never mind?
Well, I'm not going to start an interview with a guy that's a retired charter airplane, whatever he is, and he's never heard of me. That puts him higher than me.
I just never heard. I don't to be higher than you. I've never heard of you.
You see how he keeps repeating it?
All right, fine, fine. You know.
What did she want?
I don't know. What was your question?
I'm not going to ask any question because he didn't know who I was. Now, I know that makes me sound snooty, and I know that that makes me sound like I'm full of myself, but that's just going to have to be the way it is.
Well, ma'am, if I could just jump in, I don't think it makes you sound snooty at all. I think it makes you sound discerning and discriminating and, you know.
Well, I appreciate that very much, but I still don't want to talk to you because you don't know who I am, and you're some kind of a bush pilot.
Well, you know, you're right. I am a bush pilot. That's all I am, is a bush pilot. And I was lucky enough, Phil, to and Margaret, to develop my company to a point where I made a lot of money. And I got out of it because I went through a shock, and I didn't want to have any more to do with it. I don't miss it.
What shock did you go through?
I had a very terrible shock. You didn't hear about my partner was Dave Steuben. Did you know Dave?
No, I did not.
I had a partner named Dave Steuben who had gone up to Grizzly Bear Company, a country, about the same time that other guy had gone up there, that Tim Treadway or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the Grizzly Man.
Yeah, the Grizzly Man. Dad had gone up there because he'd taken a month-long vacation just to go salmon fishing, and he'd gotten into that grizzly maze, they call it. And I dropped him off, and I was going to pick him up. And I don't even know why I'm telling this.
No, tell me the story.
Oh, my God. Does this have the same ending as the other one?
Well, yes, because I landed, and I didn't land. I circled, and I saw what was... There was a bear down there, and there was a dance campsite. I thought I saw some human remains. Dan used to wear a hat with lures in it. You know, fishermen that wear these hats with lures in them?
Yeah.
Now, the part of this that was bizarre and was almost, I couldn't even fathom this, Phil, but I the part of this that really bothered me was the fact that Dan wore this hat when I was circling the landing site, when I was circling first the campsite and then the landing site. I saw what was unmistakably the remains of my friend. And this bear, which was about a mid-sized female grizzly, had this hat on its head.
Oh, come on.
Are you being serious?
Mr. Henry, do you think I'm going to kid about the death of my friend?
Well, what? Are you telling me the bear had the hat on?
The bear had the... I don't know. I'm not saying that the bear put the hat on. I'm just telling you that there was a bear wandering around my friend's campsite. My friend, whose remains I could see, Phil, I saw, I won't even go into it, but I saw with horror what had been my friend after having been torn apart by this bear. And now this bear is walking through my friend's campsite with this hat on, and I don't know why that struck me. It angered me more than anything else.
Well, what, Phil, can I ask?
Go ahead.
That's crazy.
Shut, hold on. What do you think? Are you... First of all, I want to know, are you joking?
Yeah.
No, I am not. No, I am not joking. I understand how confusing it... And I don't think I'm telling the story all that well, because the first time I told it to the media when they called me, I told it in a way... I don't know how the bear got the hat on. I think probably what happened was in tussling with Dan or in otherwise attempting to take him down and do whatever bears do. Somehow the hat got off of his head and onto the bear's head. But it angered me. And I've never been angry at nature. I know what nature is. I've been around nature my whole life.
But you're talking about a bear wearing a hat. Are you kidding?
Where have you been, man? We've been asking him if he's kidding, okay?
And are you kidding?
Where are you two idiots at? What are you doing, reading comments? What is that?
It's Nancy and Sluggo.
Nancy and Sluggo. What are you doing reading it here?
Because you had that picture on the website. I want to find out more about it.
Get that out of it. If you want to read Nancy and Sluggo, go in the other room, okay?
All right.
Why aren't you leaving?
We want to stay here.
Yeah.
Well, then, if you're going to stay here, don't read your comic books. Nancy and Sluggo.
Are we
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So I came home from that trip, and obviously I alerted the authorities. I alerted Fish and Game, and they came in with a medical evacuation helicopter. It was a horrible thing to see, but nothing of the horror of that scene affected me as much as the anger I felt when I saw this bear walking through this campsite that had obviously been disturbed and torn up, and there were overturned coolers, and there was I can remember seeing the tent was partially collapsed. I saw food had been pulled from a couple of satchels that Dan had. And all through this mayhem is this bear wearing my best friend's hat. And when I say wearing the hat, Phil, I know it's comic. I'm not saying the bear put the hat on. I'm saying somehow in the confusion on the attack and the death of my friend, the hat left his head and somehow got onto the bear's head.
Well, I suppose that there are, you know, there's stranger things that happen in terms of just the transfers. I just don't know how a bear's head.
It's a very, very bizarre thing. And the thing that's crazy and terrible is that your friend died. And now this kind of weird thing happens. But I think we're fixating too much on the fact that the bear had the hat on. Let me ask you this. Because I can tell you, if I saw a bear with a hat on and my friend has been torn apart, I would think that there was some human had been there and done that, or that maybe there was a human involved.
Well, that was my first thought, and I asked Fish and Game, and then they checked with the Alaska law enforcement, which is the state troopers up there, and I don't know if you ever watched that show, Alaska State Troopers. I've got an affinity for the Alaska troopers. They're good men and women. I thought that, but it was impossible. There was no one. They didn't think that it was possible for a human to get up there in that deep into that maze area.
What was he doing up in that grizzly maze? They're told to stay out of there.
Not certain times of the year you can go in, but that guy, Tim Treadwell, I think is his name, Timothy, did overstay a little bit, I think, and that's what...
Do you think, was that what happened with Dan?
No, I came in there to get him in August. But I can tell you that what happened to me is after I saw that hat on that bear, I got angry, and I suddenly understood after all these years of loving wildlife and loving the endangered species, doing the work that I've done along with my wife and my daughter Trudy and Devin, everybody, and my grandkids, of saving the endangered species, and now I didn't care whether the grizzly bear lived or died. It made no matter to me anymore because I hated that thing, you know?
Well, I mean, there's the old anthropomorphizing things, you know?
I know, giving it human traits, and I understand that.
You're making that bear into something that it can mock, you know, put the hat on purpose.
I understand that, Bill, and I've heard people on your show, in fact, and I won't do that, and I refuse to do that, but I still hate the guts out of this bear.
Have you gone through, that's a shock.
You know, I was going to say, that's a post-traumatic stress syndrome shock.
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Well, yeah, it's P.T.
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum.
Would you shut up, please?
That's not what he's talking about.
No, he's talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. P.T. S.S.?
No, it's post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD.
There you go, that's it, yeah. I did. I talked to a doctor at the VA, because I'm a veteran, and my wife said to me, well, why don't you get over the VA, and he told me that's what it was. But I've since lived through that, and now all I can think of is a bear I hate, and a bear that I want to see die, even though I'm not going to act on it. But the doctor told me I've made progress.
But hold on for a minute, will you, Art?
I'm sorry?
Would you hold on? Hang on, I got to take a commercial break.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I will.
No. All right, hold on. Art Griego is with us. He is a commercial pilot. I thought he was going to talk about the bounty.
That's why he's sitting on the phone. You want me to hang up on him?
No. I want to hear this whole thing about the bear wearing the hat.
And we're not allowed to laugh.
No, you're not allowed to laugh.
Even if it's at the Nancy Sluggo?
If you're reading a Nancy and Sluggo comic, take it outside and read it. If you're in here and you laugh at the Nancy and Sluggo comic, I'll kick your ass the same way I will kick your ass if you laugh at what Art's saying about the bear wearing a hat.
That's not fair. If you look at a Splash Mountain...
What about that? Splash Mountain, huh? You talking about Zippity-Doo-Dah and all that Song of the South? Is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, why don't you just bring up the Country Bear Jamboree?
Yeah, there, that's perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
But why? See, you won't answer because you don't have no answers.
Yeah, I do, and I'm not answering you because you are a fruit bar, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
What about Splash
Mountain? Phil Hendry Show.
Forever, I know that.
All right, we're talking here with Art Griego on the line with us from Santa Monica, California, as we talk. Originally, we were talking about the HMS Bounty, but we're getting the details on the death of his friend Dan Steuben, who was a pilot along with Art in the air freight business. He was his partner. And when you guys retired, or were you still working when this this happened?
No, we still had the business, Bill. We were this happened back in 92.
Okay.
And went up there, and I would fly him in every summer, just the same as this Treadway guy.
Well, if those of you who don't know the Grizzly Man, and I don't know if we're getting his name right, but Tim Treadway, I think. If you don't know the story of the Grizzly Man, you've probably heard of it. He was a young man from Southern California who fell in love with grizzly bears and would travel up to what is known as the Grizzly Maze in Alaska. And he would chronicle and otherwise document the movements and habits of these grizzly, getting very, very close to these animals in the process. And he left a series of videotapes, which you can still see, I think, on the Discovery Channel, is it?
Well, you can see them. Phil, they got it on the Animal Planet. They have it on...
Yeah, they do. And they're very haunting, too, because you know that this guy is going to die, you know?
Oh, I didn't know he died.
Yes, the grizzly man died.
Yeah, you got eaten by a bear.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Where are you going?
I'm going to be sick.
That happens to a lot of people.
She's literally going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, Margaret. I'm sorry.
What? Really?
Is she... Okay, so anyway, yes, he was attacked and he was eaten by the... Why didn't she get sick about this Dan Steuben guy?
Hold on. The Dan Steuben guy's my friend, Phil.
I apologize. I'm very, very sorry. That was a terrible thing. I wonder, though, why that did not shock her or sicken her.
Oh, she thought that I was kidding when I brought up the whole idea of. And by the way, Phil, his name is Treadwell, Tim Treadwell.
Okay.
I just got it on, I looked it up on what do you call it, Wikipedia?
Yeah, Tim Treadway, you're right. Or Treadwell.
Treadwell.
Yeah.
Just think of good tires.
That's good, okay, yeah.
Good tires, yeah.
All right. All right, Margaret, I heard you. I apologize. Art, are you okay?
I'm just thinking about Dan.
I'm sorry, man. That's terrible.
But I can think of that guy's name, Tim Treadwell. I thought good tires. So I thought that was funny.
It was funny.
I think he's getting hysterical.
What?
I think he's hysterical.
Yeah. Are you going to be okay?
Better than you. You try going on the phone. I'm on the phone.
Sorry. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm... Oh, God.
You hold... Can you hang with me here, Art?
Yeah, I'm
Let's take a... we got Karen Deauville on the other line here. Karen is calling in from, Baltimore, I guess. Karen, how are you doing in the storm?
Oh, aren't you sweet, honey? We are not in Baltimore tonight. We're visiting Herb's family. We're in Atlanta. But you're so sweet to say, honey. We're very, very grateful for that.
Oh, okay, so you're not up in the storm region?
No. We're down here. We're visiting Herb's mom and dad in Atlanta. And Jerry just came in. What do you got, Jerry?
I got fruit shed.
Jerry came in, and I wanted... There's two things I called to tell you about, Phil. First of all, put it down there, Jerry. You're dripping grease all over the... Oh, God, he's dripping grease all over the motel room. First of all, I wanted to say to you that we sent Jerry to Fat Mac's Rib Shack, okay?
Oh, I love that place. Love it.
Okay, Phil says he loves it, so we did good. And the other thing I wanted to mention to you, Phil, was, shoot. I forgot. Do you know that I know the Country Bear Jamboree. That's what you were talking about. We went to Disney World and we saw that. Did you love that, Herb? The earth's smiling. My husband is smiling because the memory of the Country Bear Jamboree. Okay, so what? Oh, and what do you like?
Hold on, because we are talking about, Art is on the phone here with us, and we're talking about a friend of his that was killed as the result of that.
As the result of what? Of the
Country Bear Jamboree, that asinine and ass thing to say. Nobody had ever...
Let me hold the phone, honey. Go ahead and cut off the rim. We got, Phil, we got extra lean baby back pork ribs. Oh, God, it's good. Let me have one. Come on. Feed my husband first thing. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. We're not exactly... I mean, I'm really grateful for you to call, Karen, but the situation here with this man, Art, is that his friend was killed by a bear. And was attacked and killed, you know?
Well, I understand that, honey. I don't think there's any... Can I tell you? Because, it's not really often that I get to go on the air with you.
Well, just eat the ribs, okay?
Which ones? The ones the bear left?
Oh, that's a duck! And a bad one! That was pretty...
Okay, tell honey...
Hold on for a minute, will you? For God's sake. We'll be right back. World famous. The ones the bear left.
I'm on this show.
Margaret, would you come on? Either throw up or don't throw up.
I'll come.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
A lot of people don't like to throw up.
Yeah, it scares them. Are you scared of throwing
Phil
up, Margaret?
Henry.
Oh, okay. Hey.